Well, part of that is working out a responsible plan, because there can be irresponsible ones. You push people too far, too fast, it doesn't work. And that's why something like evangelism explosion has worked so well, because for the first 10 trips, you just go with somebody else. And you get the feel of that, and next thing you know, you kind of want to take it over. And so it's, you know, that was God's plan. I'll do it, you watch, we'll do it together, you do it, I'll watch, and finally you do it. And I think that's an important step. I mean, it's, you know, my first time I preached in the church was Church of 2000. That wasn't a good deal. turned out okay, but I mean, it was, you'd rather start a little smaller than that, God shows you show yourself faithful in little things, God puts you in charge of greater things. Just some illustrations. I remember a girl in my college department years ago said, finally she said, you know, my dad and I haven't talked in 6 months, and she was afraid of him. I said, you haven't talked, said one word to each other in 6 months? I said, what would happen tonight if you went home and said, hi, Dad? That's just it. Just said, hi, Dad. What we did in this case is we said, now, what's the possible responses to that? Well, he could say hi back. He could not say anything. That's what she feared the most. Or he'd get mad. So we worked out in advance what a response would be to any one of those possible scenarios. Then I said, okay, will you do that? Will you make a commitment to carry this plan out? The key to cure here is really commitment. And I said, I want you to call me at home. I gave him my phone number. Call me. Tell me what happened. So about 7 o'clock that night, I got another call. He said, hi back! Well, it was really interesting because, she just got the thing going, and they actually ended up talking a little bit that night. And she shared that in the Sunday school class next week, and it flushed out another girl who hadn't talked to her dad in 2 years. It was a stepfather that actually had gotten so bad that he wouldn't permit her to eat at the dinner table. She ate, took her meal into her room and ate. So she came in to talk with me about it, and I said, have you ever accepted him as your head of this home? You know, as your stepfather? Well, no, he's not a Christian. And I said, well, he's still the head of your home here. And your mom accepted him and married him, and you're supposed to be the Christian, you know. And I said this nicely, but so we worked out a plan. And this plan was that she was going to go home, and she was afraid of him too. But politely ask his permission to talk to him. That was her opening thing. I want the permission to talk to you, with you. And so we worked out what her possible responses would be. Her first statement was going to be, and she did it, ask his forgiveness for not accepting him in the home and respecting him as her stepfather. She called me that night. I said, what happened? He said, praise God, I've got a daughter. Imagine 2 years, you know, just fear and mobilization like that, but just working out a simple plan. And now go do it. And asking for some commitment and some accountability to do that kind of thing. And it's amazing. You just kind of work through those kind of issues. It's like, the old story of the Coast Guard where, you know, this huge storm came up and this cutter was called out for rescue mission, and this young seaman comes up to this grizzly old captain and says, we can't go out. We'll never come back. And you look at her, we must go out. We don't have to come back. He's probably thinking, how do I become a Marine? You know, it's like taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. I said, there's a lot of countries that people say you can't get into. I said, yeah, I can get into them. You may not come back. But that was the pioneering spirit of a lot of people, folks, that if they felt called by God, they had a greater fear of God than they did of death, for instance. You want to read a great book, by the way? I just finished it. Jesus, M.D. Have you seen that? Anybody read that? Jesus, M.D. That's a good discipleship book, isn't it? It's a medical doctor and story of the going to Kenya. But, boy, you get the end of the book and you realize who started that. Well, the turn of the last century, there was, what, 5 or 6 people that went on a trek to there, and by the time they got there, 6 had died or 5 had died. And one guy remained, had malaria, and he lived for 20, 30 years and got a nurse over there. And the nurse finally got a doctor. The doctor called this guy who wrote the book, who's I think now president of the Christian Medical Association. David Stevens. Oh, that's a good book. You know, became my new hero. Paul Brand's another one. If you ever read anything about Paul Brand, Oh, my goodness. Philip Yancey, who co-authored the book with him. Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. I mean, these people were real pioneers, but they didn't let fear stop them, folks. I mean, it can't stop us either. The point of it is that do the thing you fear the most, and death of fear is certain. There's only one legitimate fear object in life, and that's God. And when you realize that, it's a matter of worship, to be honest with you. When you recognize that in your own life, that God is here, and, you know, was it really a scary thing to go down to Columbia? Actually, it really wasn't. I had a real peace about it. Then it got to a point where it may look like it's just good, bad stewardship, too. I mean, right now, it's not a... In fact, every time I went, I got a letter from the government saying, don't go. Can't protect you. We won't bail you out. We won't... So it's... After a while, you just realize that maybe this is a foolish act, too. And so... But fear like that can paralyze, you know, people's lives for years. And unfortunately, what happens is that some of this agoraphobia is nothing more than a spiritual attack at night. Let me just close with that. How many here have had this happen? Have awakened sharply at a precise time of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning? Now, I would assume coming to this kind of conference, that would be pretty high. That's a spiritual attack, folks. If it happens at 2:45 or whatever else, you know, or you wake up tonight and you know you ate a pickle and you shouldn't have, you know, don't let it work. But if it's a precise time and you wake alertly like that, how many have had this happen? You awaken and an incredible sense of fear. Could have felt like a pressure in your chest, maybe something grabbing your throat, and you tried to say something and you couldn't. How many have had that happen? See, again, I've never seen anywhere in this country less than a third of the people. You describe that symptom, they'll call that a panic attack. Why don't they call it a fear attack? It was on a dollar rate of fear, wasn't it? Because they can't identify the object. I can. That's a spiritual attack. Why couldn't I do anything? You could, actually. The order of Scripture here is critical. Submit to God, resist the devil. You can submit to God inwardly. God knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So you can call upon the Lord, you know, inwardly. And as soon as you do, as soon as you acknowledge God, boom, you'd be freed up, and all you'd have to say is Jesus. It'd be over just like that. That's all you'd have to say. How many have discovered that? Most of you, good. The first probably 4 years I went on the road with this ministry, that would happen every night before the conference. It got to be after a while, I said, gee, you're kind of tipping your hand, aren't you? You know, I mean, it's, you know, I learned to process that and go back to sleep in a matter of seconds anymore. But at first, you know, you don't know what it is. You can lay there and squirm for a while. I think it's kind of a test. God says, here, you can get out of it yourself if you think you can. Or you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So you learn pretty fast. Better call the higher authority here. And the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. And so you're trying to respond to this thing physically, and you seemingly can't do it. And that's because the weapons of war are not of the flesh. That's not the answer for it. The answer is to submit to God and resist the devil and do it in that order. And you can always submit to God inwardly, because God knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So I think God sometimes just allows those kind of things for our own growth and understanding, and, you know, so it's part of our life. But anyway, let's close in prayer and go eat some dinner. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that you are our sanctuary. That all the wonderful buildings we've been in are not. The only sanctuary we have is in Christ. And so I just pray, Father, for the wonderful gift of communication you've given so many other speakers that are here, and that this conference would just come to a completion tomorrow, that what you wanted accomplished would indeed be accomplished in all the people's lives who came. So thank you for this time together and for the dinner you prepared for us. And we just commit this evening to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.